Loyola to Manresa is the classic kind of Ignatian walk, because it links together these key places in the story of St. Ignatius. So St. Ignatius was from the Basque country, obviously, and he was born in Loyola, in the castle of Loyola there. So to see the places where he was born, and especially in Loyola, that's where he had the conversion experience. After he'd been injured in the battle in Pamplona, he was taken home in a stretcher, and he was lying up for months in his bed there. And that's where he had the big insight about God was working with him in his interior and his inside. So then he set out on this journey to walk on foot over to Manresa, which is easily 500 kilometers or more away. And that journey is a story of his life, really. It's a story of experiences, learnings, figuring out how God was working with him. And then in Manresa itself, which is on the other side of Spain, basically near Barcelona, that's where he had some key experiences as well, and especially the writing of the spiritual exercises, which is his great work, the great retreat, the great kind of gift to humanity. Then that's where he got a lot of insight. That's where he put it all together there.
And Brendan, this is a long walk. I mean, it's how long? 400 miles, is it, from Loyola to Manresa?
That's right, it's about 600 kilometres in total, yeah.
And was it important for you as a Jesuit to do that walk?
That's really important as a Jesuit. It's really close to my soul. I think probably the main thing there was that I had done that as part of my training. As a Jesuit novice, you have to do all these different experiences, work in a hospital, do the long retreat. But this was the key one for me, walking across Spain with another Jesuit novice, but with no money. So you have to rely on Providence, and that was really tough. I mean, that was the toughest thing I've ever done. But that's where I learned the most. That's where I got this great insight about praying to God. You know, pray to God when you're in trouble. Don't be trying to do it all yourself. And letting go control, which runs right through this book that I've written, is the key theme, you know, to surrender and to abandon yourself. But that's easy to say, right? But it's so difficult to do that in practice. Sometimes we have to arrive to these kind of liminal situations where this is kind of forced on us. And that's where we start to engage with the real selves, ourselves, and the real God, I think.
And that's what happens with you on these pilgrimages and the books that you write subsequently, is that you have real experiences. They're usually not what you expect. I notice that. And then from that, you are able to pray and understand Ignatian spirituality in a deeper way. And that happened very quickly, Brendan, it has to be said, on this pilgrimage, because you were fired with enthusiasm. You're in the chapel the night before in Loyola, you're praying, and you're in the place where Ignatius had his conversion, and you're fired up. Tell us what happens the next day.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was really, really unfortunate. It was my second day, and I got up really early in the morning. What I like to do, up before dawn, it's still dark, and I'm walking through this town. I'm staying in a little guest house on the edge of town, and I could see the path where I was meant to be across town. So instead of going back into town, I could take a shortcut across this dual carriageway and get to the path. But of course, what I didn't reckon on was I was blinded by this car, by these headlights in the dark, and I stepped off the edge of the road and I stumbled, went right down on one knee with the full weight of the rucksack, and it was horrible, a horrible injury, and you know, cut my knee and everything, but it left me in bad shape, and I was limping, and I had to go and get help, obviously. So went to the nearest medical center, which was a couple of kilometers away, you know, hobbled along the road and got there and was bandaged up. But they didn't realize, of course, there was a deeper issue which they hadn't detected. So the whole walk is basically about me struggling along, not knowing what's really going on. There's an underlying issue which doesn't come to light until right towards the end. So in fact, I'd been to three doctors in a row, one after the other, and saying there's something wrong here, and they couldn't figure out what it was. But it's this story about the in-between thing, you know, so I'm not quite sure. I'm trying to walk as best I can. I'm kind of limping along the road. I'm not exactly sure what's going on. I'm trying to make decisions in a very difficult situation, you know, the pressure of injury or limping. and not being sure about what's going on. And I think that, I think a lot of people relate to that. That's what people's lives are like.
Mm.
We're not completely sure. We don't have the whole picture. We're trying to do the best we can in the situation where we find ourselves. So that's what the walk is about. It's, in some ways, it's an unfortunate happening. But in another way, there was really extraordinary things that came out of that. And certainly the learnings that came out of that, and how I, what I learned about God, about myself, about prayer and discernment was extraordinary.
Well, what in a nutshell, so give me one thing that you may have learned then. And also, I was thinking about Ignatius. I mean, he was such a pilgrim, wasn't he? I remember reading, like, he walked everywhere. And one of the most moving things I ever saw was his little shoes, which they have in the Jesuit house in Rome. But even hundreds of miles, and then they got him a horse eventually, and he gave the horse back. So what did you feel close affinity with Ignatius as well?
Absolutely. No, I felt really close to Ignatius. I mean, I was walking in his footsteps, literally, on the same journey that he had done. But also, there was this thing about Ignatius, that Ignatius limped his whole life. Remember, he'd had this accident where he got shot with a cannonball and his leg was broken. His leg was reset, but it wasn't set properly, and he had a bit of a lump of bone sticking out of it, and he had to get that cut off. So one leg was shorter than the other. So he limped his whole life after that episode. So I was limping along the same road that he had gone, and I really felt close to Ignatius on a lot of occasions, and I think I got a new insight into Ignatius as well. I mean, I read about him limping, but I never understood what that was like until you actually do that, until you're actually suffering the consequences of that. There's something about being in that situation that means you're not in control, for sure. It puts you in a bit of a vulnerable position. It means that you're a bit more dependent on other people, on God's grace, on providence, you know. And you're not so sure about things. You're not so much on top of things. You know, you can't kind of swagger into town and take over situations. You're more hesitant. You're more kind of sitting back. You're more waiting to see what's going to happen. And you're trusting much more. You're trusting that something's going to come out of this situation. Something good is going to come out of it. And hanging on there, hanging on in difficult situations and trying to find a way through. The other really interesting thing was that on this walk, I came across lots of other people that I wouldn't have met otherwise if I hadn't been injured. And like, one of the classic stories, my favorite story, is on the third day when I was injured, and I was staying up in the mountains in a shrine, Aranzazu it's called, a Marian shrine where Ignatius had stayed. And in the morning, when my leg's bandaged up, the doctor told me to take a day off. So I go down for breakfast, and there's a guy sitting at the table, and he's got all the hiking gear on. He's ready to walk, obviously. And I said, can I join you in Spanish? Because I speak Spanish. And he said, sure, join me. So I said to him, what are you doing? He says, I'm doing the pilgrimage. I'm doing the Ignatian pilgrimage. He says, I'm doing it as a retreat. He says, but I'm really stuck. You know, I need a bit of help. And I said, well, how are you doing the retreat? What book are you using? And he takes out of his pocket this book. And of course, it's the Spiritual Exercises of St. Ignatius. And that's my job. That's my job, to help people through the exercises of St. Ignatius, to guide them as a spiritual director. So the hair stood up in the back of my neck when I heard that, because I thought, this is providence, if I ever heard it. So we had a big chat. I mean, you're not meant to do the spiritual exercises yourself, just reading the book. It doesn't work. You need a guide, and you need someone to interpret the exercise and put them into modern language. It's quite terse, and it's quite difficult to understand. So we had this big chat, right, in Spanish, in this breakfast room. And I could feel the room was filling up behind me, and people were coming in. And I said, I have to go for this. We have this one chance, and I'm trying to talk to him, trying to help him to get through these difficulties. And at the end, I showed him the examen, which is the review at the end of the day. I showed him where that was in the exercise, and I said, look, just forget about all the other stuff. Just do that one thing, that examine, and look for gratitude in your day. It was a beautiful moment, and he went off on his walk, hopefully a bit happier.
Yeah, because that's a beautiful prayer, 15 minutes, and the one that Ignatius says to all Jesuits, if you don't pray anything, at least pray the examine, isn't that right?
That's it, exactly, you know. Exactly. And the funny story was that the next day, he was a day ahead of me. I arrived in the next village in the boarding house, and this woman said to me, she says, "Oh, we've been expecting you." And I said, "What?" I said, "Impossible. How could you know?" And she said, "There was a guy here yesterday, and he said, watch out for the priest with the white bandages," which was me coming along, limping along the road after him, you know. It's a lovely story.
Lovely story.